Well, we're there in Matthew chapter number 4, and I want you to notice, and if you look at verse 17, Matthew chapter 4, obviously, is early in the book of Matthew, and really, this is when Jesus begins his ministry, his public ministry, where he's going around and preaching and doing the things that he does. In verse number 17, the Bible says this: from that time, Jesus began to preach. So if you remember, in Matthew chapter 3, he was baptized. We saw there in chapter 4, right after his baptism, that he went into the wilderness, fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, and was tempted of the devil. And then after that, we know from other passages also that John the Baptist, who preceded Jesus. We'll be talking about John tonight in Isaiah chapter 40. But John the Baptist, who came before Christ and kind of prepared the way for him, has now been put in prison. And the Bible tells us, from that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven. Now, keep your finger there in Matthew 4, but go with me to the book of Mark, just real quickly, the very next book over, Mark chapter number 1. And I want you to notice, in Mark chapter 1, we're looking at a parallel passage. It's the same time, just in a different book of the Bible. In Mark chapter 1 and verse 14, the Bible says this. Mark chapter 1 and verse 14, it says, now after that John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee, notice, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God, and saying, the time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye, and believe the gospel. Many people, I'm not preaching about this morning, but many people are confused with this idea of what it means to preach repentance. Well, here in Mark 1:15, we are told what exactly Jesus was preaching when he preached repentance. He did not preach that you have to stop doing certain things in order to be saved. He said you need to repent and believe the gospel. He says you need to turn away from your unbelief, from your, you know, trusting in your works and trusting your false religion, and believe the gospel. And here's what I want you to understand. When Jesus started his ministry, he immediately began to preach the gospel to people. He immediately began to go about and preach, repent ye, and believe the gospel, and preach, repent ye, for the kingdom of God is at hand. But I also want you to notice that he also did something else. Keep your finger there in Mark 1. We're going to come back to Mark, or it should be easy to find if you want to lose your place. But go back to Matthew chapter number 4, and look at verse number 18. Jesus begins his ministry, and he immediately begins to preach. But at the same time, simultaneously, he also begins to recruit followers. Look at Matthew chapter 4, look at verse 18. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon, called Peter. And you know that Peter goes down in history as being the leader of the 12 disciples, the 12 apostles. And Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he saith unto them, notice what he says, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Jesus begins his ministry, and he begins his ministry by preaching the gospel, by getting people saved, by taking salvation to those that are lost, those that need it. But he also begins to recruit followers. He begins to recruit people to help him. He begins with those 12, and eventually that turns into 70. And we know by Acts chapter 1, there's 120 that are those who are following Christ and those who are, trying to do the works of Christ. Keep your finger there in Matthew 4. Go with me to 2 Timothy chapter number 2, towards the end of the New Testament. 2 Timothy, you can find all those T-books, 1st, 2nd Thessalonians, 1st, 2nd Timothy, Titus, they're all clustered together. 2 Timothy chapter number 2. I want you to understand this. Jesus understood something from the very beginning of his ministry. And obviously, Jesus is God in the flesh. He is completely, knowledgeable and wise of everything. And he understood that it was not just enough for him to preach the gospel. It was not just enough for him to go and get people saved and get people to be converted and get people to repent from their false doctrine and their false belief system and their false religion, and that they might believe the gospel. Jesus understood something. Jesus understood that if what he was doing was going to last, if what he was doing was going to make an impact, if what he was doing was going to be something that just changed the world, he understood that he was going to need help. And he was going to have to recruit people that would be able to be trained so that they could continue the ministry after he was gone. I don't know if you understand this, or I don't know if you've ever sat down to think about this. I'm a pastor, and I guess I get paid to sit around and think about things like this. But, have you ever thought about the impact that Christ has made on this world? I mean, we're talking about a man, and we know that he was God in the flesh. But understand this. Jesus had set aside his deity. not set aside his deity in the sense that he was God, but he set aside his power as deity. He was not omnipresent and, you know, omnipotent. He wasn't, you know, everywhere at once. He confined himself to a human body. And here we have a man who had a ministry for 3.5 years. At Verity Baptist Church, we started our church about 4.5 years ago. We've already surpassed in time the ministry of Christ by 1 year. Who had a ministry for 3.5 years that was confined to this small region of the world. Jesus basically did not leave Palestine very much. And we read there in Matthew 4 that he went to Decapolis, he went to Syria, he left Israel a little bit. But for the most part, his ministry was confined to this little area called Israel and Palestine and a little bit of Syria, a little of Decapolis. We know he spent some time in Egypt as a child, but he had this ministry that was not very long, and he had this ministry that was not very wide, not very global. He didn't have his preaching on YouTube. He didn't have his preaching on the internet. He didn't have his preaching on TV. And this man, in 3.5 years, was able to impact the world in such a way where 2,000 plus years later, we're still talking about him. I mean, how many men do you know of that we're still talking about 2,000 years later? Not many. How many men have impacted the world in the way that Christ did and changed the world in the way that Christ did? Not many. In fact, not any. And you say, well, how did he do it? Here's how he did it. He enlisted 12 men to help him. And he enlisted 12 men and trained them. And he enlisted 12 men to carry on the ministry after him. Are you there in 2 Timothy chapter 2? Look at verse number 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 2, the Bible says this ought to be the life verse of our church and of every church and of every Christian. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 2 says this, and the things that thou hast heard of me, this is the Apostle Paul, among many witnesses. He says, the same commit thou to faithful men. Notice what he says, who shall be able to teach others also. See, our ministry here and the ministry of Christ was to reach people with the gospel. But after they were reached, he would also teach them so that they could then go out and teach others also. See, everything we do at Verity Baptist Church should fall under these headings. We either do it to reach people or we do it to teach people so that they can teach others also. That's the movement of Christ. That's the movement of being a follower of Jesus Christ. That's what Jesus came to do. Go to Acts, just real quickly. Acts chapter 17. Look at verse number 6. Jesus trained these men who then trained other men who then trained other men. And we're told in Acts 17, not too long after the ascension of Christ, there's a very interesting statement. I love this statement in Acts chapter 17. In your New Testament, you got Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts. Acts 17. Look at verse 6. The Bible says this, and when they found them not, they drew Jason and certain brethren unto the rulers of the city. Now, these are not people who are Christians. These are not saved individuals. These are enemies of the cause of Christ. They are taking Jason, who's a believer, and a brethren unto the rulers of the city. They are accusing them. And notice what they said about these early Christians. They said, crying, these that have turned the world upside down. He said, "Are come hither also." He said, these people, these followers of this man, Jesus Christ, they said he died and he resurrected and he impacted the world from Jerusalem and he impacted the world from Galilee and he got these followers and he trained them and they trained others and now they've gone all over the world and these people are saying about the believers of Christ, about Paul and those that are getting saved. They said, now these that have turned the world upside down, now they've come here. And they said, we don't like it. See, you've got to understand this. What Jesus came to do was to change the world. He came to impact the world. He came to make a difference. He did not come to live a life that would just go into the history books as just average. He wanted to do something that was spectacular. And you've got to ask this question, how did this happen? And maybe more importantly than how did this happen, how can it happen again? If you go back to the Gospels, go with me to Luke chapter 19. Let me show you one more verse before we get back to Matthew. Luke chapter 19, Matthew, Mark, Luke. Luke chapter 19. I want you to understand that Jesus came to do something very specific. Now, we know that he obviously came to die for the sins of the world, and we understand that. But along with that, or on his way to that, He wanted to teach us how we could take that gospel message of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, of the gift of salvation, of the forgiveness of sins, and how we could carry that into our generation and into generations to come. In Luke chapter 19 and verse 10, you find Jesus speaking, and he says this about himself. He says, "For the Son of Man is come," and I want you to notice the next four words. He says, "to seek and to save that which was lost." Say, what did Jesus come to do? And you may ask that question and say, well, what, you know, the evangelical charismatics or whatever, they like to wear their t-shirts that say, WWJD, you know, what would Jesus do? Well, here's the thing. What did Jesus do? He came to seek and to save. What did Jesus do? See, people get to say, well, Jesus came to give parables. That's something he did on the way to doing what he came to do, which was to seek and to save. You say, well, he did miracles. No, that's something he did while he was seeking and saving. You say, well, he trained and he did these things. He started the church. No, you got to understand, all of it falls under this heading of to seek and to save. Why did Jesus call for followers? Because see, for the last, I don't know how long we've been in it now, 6 or 7 weeks, we've been studying this idea of following Christ. And we've learned that to be a follower of Christ, we need to learn to forsake all. And to be a follower of Christ, we need to learn to deny self. And to be a follower of Christ, we've got to give up, you know, our lives. And we've got to cross that line and just say, I'm going to submit and I'm going to do what Christ has called me to do. We've learned that to be a follower of Jesus, you've got to follow the spiritual leadership that he's put in front of you. And we've learned all those things. But what we have not talked about yet is this. Why? Why should you be a follower of Christ? Or maybe, why would Christ ask you to follow? And the answer is in Matthew chapter 4, verse number 19, if you would look at it with me. See, when Jesus said, follow me, he said something else. In Matthew chapter 4 and verse 19, the Bible says this, and he saith unto them, follow me. Why, Jesus? Here's why. And I will make you fishers of men. See, Jesus had an agenda. He said, I'm here to reach people with the gospel. And he said, I want you to follow me so I can teach you how to fish for men. So I can teach you how to catch men. So I can teach you how to reach people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And Jesus was telling these men, if you follow me, I will make you fishers of men. If you follow me, I will make you a person who can reach others so that you can reach and teach others to do the same thing that I taught you, which was to reach and teach and reach and teach and reach and teach. And the reason I'm here today, and the reason you're here today, and the reason that you're saved this morning is because through the ages, men and women have decided that they would carry the gospel of Jesus Christ into the next generation. And my friend, it is now our job to carry that same message. Say, why would we follow? So that he can make you a fisher of men. Can you go to Mark chapter 1? Look at verse 16. Mark chapter 1 and verse 16. And we're going to go back to Matthew 4, 19 just real quickly. But notice in Mark 1, 16, he says the same thing. Mark chapter 1, verse 16, the Bible says this. Now as he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. Obviously, these are fishermen, so he's using a play on words. He says, you catch fish, now you're going to catch men. Notice verse 17, he says, and Jesus said unto them, come ye after me. It just means the same thing. Follow me. Follow what I'm doing. Come ye after me. And notice, I will make you to become fishers of men. Now, here's what I want you to understand. And point number one, for those of you who like to take notes, point number one is this. The call to follow Christ is a call to reach others. The call to follow Christ is a call to reach others. And I want you to understand what Jesus said. He said, come ye after me. And he says, and you might become a fisher of men. Is that what it says? He says, come ye after me, and maybe if you've got the aptitude, or maybe if you've got the charisma, or maybe if you have the time or the energy. He did not say any of that. Here's what he said. Come ye after me, and I will make you fishers of men. If you go back to Matthew 4:19, he says this, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Now, here's what you got to understand. And I don't know about you, but I believe that Jesus was God in the flesh. I believe that everything he said was true. And Jesus makes a promise here. He says this, if you follow me, I'm going to make you a fisher of men. Here's what that means. If you are a follower of Christ, you will fish for men. If you are following Christ, you will partake in the ministry of reaching others. If you are a follower, there's no if and or buts about it. If you follow Christ, Jesus promised, I will make you fishers of men. You will reach people. You will partake in evangelism. Now, the flip side to that is true. If you're not fishing for men, you're not following Christ. Do you understand that? See, a whole lot of Christians today like to say, well, you know, I'm a follower of Jesus, and I follow him, but I just, that whole soul winning thing and that whole reaching people with the gospel and going to someone and asking them about their salvation and trying to present Jesus, that's just not my thing. Here's the thing. If it's not your thing, then you're not following Christ. Because he said, if you follow me, I will make you a fisher of men. And people like to say, well, you know, I'm a follower of Christ. I just don't fish for men. If you're not fishing for men, you're not following Christ. People like to say, oh, well, this church over here is a pretty good church. You know, they're not really into evangelism, and they're not really into soul winning. They've got a whole lot of other things, but they're a pretty good church. You're not a good church if you're not fishing for men. You're not following Christ if you're not fishing for men. And let me just to make sure that I'm not mincing words, if you are a Christian, you are to follow Christ. And if you're not fishing for men, you're not right with God. Say, I just don't think that. Hey, look, I didn't say it. Jesus did. He said, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. So if you're not fishing for men, you're not following Christ. And if you're following Christ, you're fishing for men. It's not an option. It's not, you know, if you like or if you have time. He says the call to follow is a call to reach others. The call to follow is a call to teach others who will be able to teach others also. The call to follow is a call to bring the gospel into the next generation. See, there are people in your life that you know that aren't saved. There are people in your life that you are related to that need to hear the gospel. And it is your job and it is my job to reach this community with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And if we don't, then let's go ahead and say that we're doing what we're doing. We're meeting together because we like each other. We're meeting together because it's social events. We're meeting together, but we're not doing this. We're not following Christ. Because Jesus said, if you follow me, I will make you fishers of men. See, number one, the call to follow Christ is a call to reach others. Now, already, I've already lost some of you, and that's okay. Don't worry about it. I still like you. But just try to stay with me to the end of the sermon so I can give you the rest of these points, and maybe they'll make sense. Because, see, some of you are thinking to yourself, well, that's kind of weird. That's kind of zealous. Are you in a cult? People like to throw that word around. They don't even know what they're talking about. A cult is someone who follows a man. I don't think any of you are, hopefully none of you are following me. Good night. You could do better than that. Trust me. You say, well, we're following Christ. Yeah, he wasn't a man. He was God. We're not following a man. We're following Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ, now here's what you're going to say. Number one. A call to follow Christ is a call to reach others. Number two, for those of you taking notes, can you go back to Luke chapter 5? Look at verse 9. Number two, a call to reach others is a call to change direction. Let me say that again. A call to reach others is a call to change direction. Because a call to follow Christ is a call to reach others. A call to reach others is a call to change directions. Are you there in Luke chapter 5? Look at verse 9. For he was astonished. Remember we saw this a few weeks ago? Where Jesus asked Peter to launch out into the deep and to put a net out. And he said, put your nets out for a drought. And he said, I'll put my net out. And he put one net out and it break because he should have put two nets out like Jesus told him to. And we learned that we would be better off just doing what Jesus told us to do. And he might even take care of us financially if we just did what he told us to do. And here in verse 9, we're ending that story. He says, for he was astonished and all that were with him at the draught of the fishes which they had taken. Verse 10, and so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, now here's what he says to Simon, fear not. Now I want you to catch this. Don't miss this. Jesus says to Simon, from henceforth. That word henceforth means from now on, from this point on. Here's what Jesus was saying to Peter, James, and John. Three grown men, three businessmen, three men with wives and children, three men that had spent their adult lives building a business which was to fish, for a profit. And Jesus comes into their bubble and says, hey, listen, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. See, here's what you understand. In life, I am and you are going in one direction. And that direction is the direction that we want to go. The desires of our heart, the things that we like. And we're going in this direction, and all of a sudden, sometimes in our lives, God will kind of, you know, throw us off the horse like he did with Saul on the road to Damascus and kind of just meet us in the way that we would go. And he says, hey, from here on now, I want you to follow me. You were going this way, now you're going to go this way. You were catching fish, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. You understand? See, here's what you understand. A call to follow is a call to reach others. But a call to reach others brings with it a change in direction. It brings with this idea that I will no longer live for self. I will no longer go down the road I want to go. I will no longer do the things I want to do. If I'm following, then that means someone else is leading. Someone else is deciding. Someone else is making the choices. Someone else is deciding where I'll go, when I'll go, what I'll do, and how long I'll do it for. Say, how did 12 men turn the world upside down? And why are we not today? And here's why. If we are going to change the world, if we are going to change the world, reaching others cannot be something we do on the side. If we're going to change the world, we're going to make an impact. Reaching others is not something we can do on the side. Can you go to Acts chapter 18? Look at verse 1. See, the problem with Christianity today, and the reason that we at Verity Baptist Church, and look, we have a great church. We have a great soul-winning church. I don't have any complaints about our church. But listen to me. The reason that we are not accomplishing the things for Christ that Christ would have us to do is because there are too many of us, including myself, who are too caught up in ourselves. And for us, Christianity is something I do on Sunday morning. Sunday night, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, all of that is me. All of that I'm leading. All of that is what I want to do. Sunday morning, and here's the thing. For us in America today, Christianity is something we do on the side. And Jesus comes along to these men, and he says, you know what? I want your life to be something you do on the side, and I want you to follow me. He says, from henceforth, he said, you're not going to do what you used to do, Peter. You're going to do something new. You're going to help me reach man. Are you there in Acts chapter 18? Look at verse 1. Acts chapter 18, verse 1. Let me give you a very uncomfortable example. Acts 18, verse 1. After these things, Paul. Remember Paul? Paul was a man who impacted the world pretty highly himself. Paul did great things for God, but notice what the Bible says. After these things, Paul departed from Athens and came to Corinth and found a certain Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus, lately come from Italy, with his wife Priscilla, because that Claudius had commanded all the Jews to depart from Rome, and came unto them. And, verse 3, because he was of the same craft. Now, the word craft there means the same work, the same occupation, the same career. So here's what you see. Paul, who was the preacher, the spiritual leader, Aquila and Priscilla, who were church members, who were following Paul as he followed Christ, all had the same job. Notice, they had the same craft. He abode with them and wrought for by their occupation. Do you see that? They're all working. Paul's working. Aquila's working. Priscilla's helping. With their occupation, they were tent makers. Now listen to me. Paul, I don't know if I could have what I could do to help you understand this or grasp this, but you can just listen right now and the Holy Spirit will help me to be able to communicate this thought. Because we get this idea that, well, I work a full-time job, and I have children to raise, and I've got things to do, and I've got a family, and I can't be expected to do the things. Hey, listen to me. Do you know that Paul, who brought the gospel into the regions beyond, who brought the gospel to the Gentiles, who probably was the greatest missionary and the greatest evangelist that ever lived, Monday through Friday, was making tents? And so was Aquila. And so was Priscilla. And verse 4, the Bible says, and he reasoned in the synagogues every Sabbath. You say, wait a minute, Sabbath, that's when they're supposed to rest. Sabbath, that's his day off. What's he doing? Reaching people, teaching people, bringing forth the gospel. See, you got to understand this. There are some Christians who are just crazy enough to think that I work so that I can serve Christ. The things that I do in life, those are a side thing. My main purpose in life, the reason I'm here, the reason I became a follower of Christ, the reason God saved me, the reason he didn't take me directly to heaven after I got saved, is he left me here to reach others also. See, here's the problem with Paul. I don't think he was spending a lot of time out camping. Here's the thing with Paul. I don't think his boat got a lot of use on the lake. You say, Pastor, are you mad at it? If you got a boat, I don't even know about it. I'm not mad at you. All I'm saying is this. At some point, if we're going to make an impact for Jesus, we're going to have to decide that Jesus is not a side thing. He's not a side gig. He's not something I do if I've got time, if it's convenient. See, the men that impacted this world for Christ all said, from henceforth, I used to do this, now I'm going to do this. Everything in my life, everything will be about, it's not about my work. I work so that I can, I build tents, Paul would say, so that I can preach the gospel. The things that I do in life are all a side thing, and what I do with my life, I'm not a soul, you know, I don't do soul winning. He would say, I am a soul winner. That's what I do. That's who I am. And by the way, that's why we're not impacting this world. That's why the United States of America is in the mess it's in. Because too many Christians are just a little too caught up with their lives. My wife and I were talking late one night this week. I don't know, it was like, you ever stay up to like 1 a.m. like talking to your spouse, you know? And you start having these real deep philosophical discussions. But it's not really because it's deep, it's just because you're both so exhausted, you know what I mean? You're just too tired to like go upstairs and go to bed. And you know, we're sitting there and my wife made this statement to me and she said, if heaven is real and if hell is real and if people are really dying going to hell, she said to me, and I thought, you know, and it may be simple to you, but when she said it to me, I just thought, wow, you know. And she said, everything we do is a distraction. I mean, if people are really dying and going to hell every day, people are dying every day going to hell, why don't we get up every day and just go soul winning all day, every day, reach people with the gospel of Jesus Christ? And here's what I thought to myself when she said it. I thought to myself, that's what Jesus did. That's what Paul did. That's what Peter did. They decided from here on, I used to do this. I used to be in this club. I used to have that hobby. I used to be into these sports. I used to do these things. But from now on, my life is about reaching people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. I will give my life to see as many people saved and baptized and discipled as possible. And that's why they've done the impact, and they've done the work that we're not doing today. Because see, a call to follow Christ is a call to reach others. And a call to reach others is a call to change direction. And a call, number three, for those of you who like to take notes, to change directions is a call to abandon distractions. See, Christ and his early followers made such an impact because they allowed for no distraction. I don't know where you're at. Can you go back to Matthew chapter 4, look at verse 19? We're almost done. Matthew chapter 4, look at verse 19. Matthew chapter 4 and verse 19. Matthew 4:19 says this, and he saith unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. We saw in Mark or in Luke where he said, from henceforth, he said, from here on out, you're not going to do what you used to do. Now you're going to do what I want you to do because now you're following me. And in verse 20, the Bible says this, and they straightway, the word straightway means immediately, they straightway left their nets and followed him. And going on from thence, he saw other two brethren, James the son of Zebedee and John his brother, in a ship with Zebedee their father, mending their nets, and he called them. And immediately, notice verse 22, here's the key to the impact of these men's life. And they immediately left the ship and their father and followed him. No excuses. They just said, okay, my life's not about me anymore. It's about that man, Jesus Christ. I'm going to follow him. And when I follow him, he will make me a fisher of men. That's what it's about. I know that's not what's usually preached. I know that's not what most people think about. I know that's not what most people talk about. But we are here to reach people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. The problem is Christians today are not willing to abandon. They're not willing to forsake the distractions. And people will come up to me, and I'm not picking on you. If somebody here this morning has said this to me, I'm not picking on you. I don't even remember. But people in the past have came up to me, and they're trying to give me the reasons why they can't go soul winning. You know, they're trying to give me the reason why they can't go reach someone. And, you know, and they say, well, you don't understand. You know, Saturdays, that's the day that I do X, Y, and Z. Or that's the, I'm thinking to myself, we had almost 20 people here. We had almost 20 adults Saturday morning out here, maybe another 15 children go out soul winning. And I want to say to these people, you really think that the 20 people that show up every week to go out soul winning, do you really think that they just woke up on Saturday morning and they just thought to themselves, you know what? I really just cannot think of what I could do today. I mean, I have no idea. I mean, I'm trying to like think, what could I do? And I'm coming up with a blank, so I guess I'll just go to church and go knock on doors. You really think Jesus and Peter and Paul and those guys couldn't figure out something to keep them busy? See, the difference is they decided everything this world has to offer is worthless. It's temporal. It means nothing. See, in life, you will leave your mark and then you will die. I will die one day. And my wife, if she's outlives me, which I'm sure she will because she's much healthier than I am, and my children will remember me, and my grandchildren will remember me, Lord willing. And maybe my great-grandchildren will know of me, and maybe they'll see pictures or watch a video. But you know, once you get past those great-grandchildren, you'll basically be forgotten. I mean, think about the millions of people that have lived and died, lived and died, lived and died, lived and died. And they're not remembered, not because they were bad people, not because maybe some of them were saved and some of them loved Jesus, but because they did not make an impact with their lives. I don't know about you. I don't want to die and have my life meant nothing. I don't want to pastor an average church. I don't want to pastor average kids. I don't want to have an average marriage. I don't want to just make it through life and I went on my vacations and I did my little things and I was in this sports or I was in this hobby and I did these things. I don't know about you. I don't want to live that type of life. I want it to be said of me and of you, these have turned the world upside down. But that doesn't just happen when you're distracted. It happens on purpose when men and women decide, I'm going to follow Christ, I'm going to fish for men, and I'm going to forsake all the distractions. And maybe you're here this morning, and really, all I want to do is I want to call you, I want to encourage you, I want to challenge you to join a movement that's bigger than you or me. The movement of Jesus Christ, to reach people with the gospel of Jesus Christ, because it's the only thing that will really give value to your life. And it's the only thing that is eternal in value. Because the only reason that Jesus ever asked for anyone to follow him was so that he could turn around and have them teach others also. So I want to ask you for help. Because Jesus said this. He said, pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest. He said, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. And if we're going to make the impact in our generation that Christ made in his and that Paul made in his and that Christians throughout the generations have made in their generations, if we're going to do that, we're going to need help. And some of you are thinking, Pastor Jimenez, you're crazy. You're always crazy. Every time I come here, I think you're crazy. That's fine. I'm not talking to you. You know, I love you. You can keep coming here. But some of you are thinking, wow, I want to be a part of that. And I want to challenge you, and I want to encourage you. Get involved. You say, well, what can I do? Well, we've got a soul winning seminar coming up this Friday. You can be trained how to give the gospel. You can show up on Saturday. And you say, well, I can't go Saturday. Look, we got groups that go out Sunday. You want to go out this week, call me. You're a man, okay? Not ladies. You need to find your own partner, okay? I've got one female partner. Her name's Joanne, all right? But you're a man. You want to go out soul winning? Call me up. Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. We'll go out whenever you want. See, at some point, the followers of Christ need to just say, no excuses. Forsaking all, it's all about Christ, it's all about fishing for men. And that's the impact. And that's what makes a difference. You say, why are we talking about Jesus 2,000 years later? Why are we talking about Paul and Peter? Why do we know these fishermen, these unlearned and ignorant men? Why do we know about them? Here's why we know about them. Because they decided to follow Christ and accepted the call to reach others. And when they accepted the call to reach others, they accepted the call to change directions in their lives. And when they changed directions, they decided to abandon the distractions. And that's the only reason we're talking about them today. And the only thing that you can do with your life to impact eternity is to follow Christ. Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer.